Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. قال الله تعالى في القرآن الحكيم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال عز وجل يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا وقال عز وجل يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد All praises for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praises are for Him and for Him alone. Allah's help we seek and Allah's forgiveness we seek. Indeed, we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evils actions and from the evils within ourselves. I testify that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is alone and who has no partner. And I further testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's slave and his messenger, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent with the truth as a warner before the hour. Whomever obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, him shall be guided aright. And whomever disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or his messenger, then he will not harm anyone but his own self. And to proceed with today's khutbah insha'Allah, brothers and sisters, we have a perpetual enemy, an enemy who awaits us all the time, from in front, from behind, on the right, on the left. He is shaitan, a perpetual enemy. He is going to be there forever. Know that in addition to shaitan, then we have other enemies. And sadly, we have enemies from amongst our own ranks. Enemies from amongst people who say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Yet their actions are contrary to the teachings and the practices of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we have those who aren't Muslims, who constantly beat the drums of Islamophobia, even at the highest level within the nation. So the question is, how should the Muslim navigate through this tumultuous journey of life? Just exactly what advice is there to us believers? And then we turn to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in it, the believers find great comfort on how to live their lives. One such saying, as is narrated by Imam Tirmidhi in a Hassan hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised us. And he says, Ittaqillaha haythu ma kunt. Wa atbi'is sayyatal hasanata tamhuha. Wa khalikin nasi bi khulukin hasan. In this hadith, and the preceding three ayat that I have recited, the command here is ittaqillah. Ittaqillah. And ittaqillah is saying have taqwa of Allah. Have taqwa of Allah wherever you are. Haythu ma kunt, wherever you are. And follow up a bad deed with a good deed, and it will erase that bad deed. And behave well towards people with good manners or good etiquette, good behavior. So this advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although it's very short, is a profound advice. It's full of guidance for the believers. Indeed, if we look at this advice, it is said that we do not need any other advice in our whole life if we follow this single advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the meaning is deep. It transcends all aspects of our lives. And here is where we see that this advice, the all-comprehensive advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we have no more, it would be sufficient for us. This advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam combines the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the individual. It combines the right of the individual upon himself or herself and the right of others upon the individual. This is the reason why it's all encompassing. Because no one is left out from this hadith who has a right on us. No one is left out. So to start with, this hadith and the three ayat, they're saying something. Have taqwa of Allah. But what is this have taqwa of Allah? Many times when you hear this or these ayah being recited, or you even open a translation of the Quran, what is stated there is, O you who believe, fear Allah. O you who believe, fear Allah. Even this hadith, it is commonly translated as, fear Allah wherever you are. The truth of the matter is that the word fear doesn't really capture the true meaning and essence of the word taqwa. It doesn't. It doesn't do justice to it. Instead, when we look at the word taqwa, it comes from the root waqaya. And this word actually means to have a shield or to protect yourself from something harmful. Right? To protect yourself from something harmful. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here that have taqwa of Allah, a better meaning and a better understanding of it is to have caution and to take care, to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Develop consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So taqwa is like a conscious button. You hit it every time it's needed, a conscious button. That's what taqwa is easily translated and better translated to be. So the companion, Umar radiallahu anhu, he asked the great Mufassir of the Quran, Ubay bin Ka'b, Ya Ubay, tell me about taqwa. What is taqwa? Ubay said, Umar, have you walked upon a path in which you had thorny bushes? Umar radiallahu anhu said, yes, I have walked on this path many times. He said, how did you walk on this path? He said, when I was walking on this path, I was very careful. I held up my garments and tucked up my sleeves, and I was very careful on how I was walking. Ubay said, that is taqwa. That is taqwa. Care and caution in when we do things, to apply care and caution. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He is asking us here in these ayah, what He's actually saying is, be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all that you do. But the question is, what should we be conscious about? You see, the ayah is implying something which is actually understood. So the question is, even if you say it means fear Allah with respect to what? Fear Allah with respect to what? Or be conscious of Allah with respect to what? So that part is about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Quran, وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ. And be careful with respect to Allah's anger and Allah's punishment and Allah's displeasure. So this is what it is all about. So how is it that a person falls into such a situation of making Allah's anger and punishment befall him or her? Rather, it is through disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, it is by committing sins. The sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have prohibited us again and again. So one actually can save himself or herself from the anger and displeasure and punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by following this advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to develop taqwa wherever we are, whether we are in private or whether we are in public, in all situations of our lives, in our home or outside of our home, to have taqwa, to develop that consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the reason why taqwa has different levels. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rewarded taqwa enormously in the Quran. So with respect to the different levels of taqwa, we see that the lowest level of taqwa has to do with when the servant protects himself from falling into shirk. This is the lowest level of taqwa, when the servant protects himself or herself from falling into shirk, from associating a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the lowest level. The next level, just above that, is preventing oneself from committing a major sin or committing a minor sin, the same minor sin, repeatedly. This is the second level. And the third level of taqwa, the highest level of taqwa, is to stay away from those acts, although they are not harmful, but you fear that these acts may actually contain harmful things inside of them. This is the highest level of taqwa. To be so careful of one's deen, even the things which are permissible, you're scared, if at all you have a little bit of doubt there that, you know, maybe something is wrong about this act, you keep away. That is the highest level of taqwa. And a person only becomes from amongst the muttaqoon, the people possessing taqwa, when he or she comes to this level. The highest level of staying away from things when you think that this thing may contain something which is wrong inside of them. Because taqwa is something which a person has to strive for. You see, no one is born with taqwa. You have to strive for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given taqwa enormous reward. The people who practice taqwa, the muttaqoon, has enormous amount of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Noble Quran, with respect to His rewards, He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that indeed Allah is with those who have taqwa. So, what is it more a person want if he is getting the promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be there with him, look over him with respect to his knowledge, the meaning of with him? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you a promise, have taqwa and I will be there with you. That is the first, one of the first reward for taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us again in the Noble Quran, Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقُونَ. Now, many times in this dunya, we strive for someone to love us. You strive for someone to love you. You strive for the children to love you. You strive for the spouse to love you. We strive for persons to love us. What about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you have taqwa, I will love you. Allah is guaranteeing His love for those people who have taqwa. So that is that's the second reward for taqwa. In addition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ وَيُعْظِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا. That is, and whoever is conscious of Allah, and whoever is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will pardon him, Allah will forgive him all his sins, and Allah will give him a great reward. So all of one sin will be wiped out, and we will have a great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is this great reward? What is this great reward that we're going to get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in addition to having all our sins forgiven and having the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having His mercy, all of these things? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتِ وَنَهَرٍ فِي مَقْعَدِ صِدْقٍ عِنْدَ مَلِيكٍ مُقْتَدِرٍ. Allah tells us that indeed those who are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be amongst gardens and rivers. This is their reward. This is their reward in Jannah. Gardens and rivers to flow freely. And in addition to that, they will have a seat of truth near the magnificent King, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. they will have a seat of truth near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the reward for taqwa, for developing taqwa, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end is saying that you will have a seat of truth near to the magnificent king himself. Such is the reward of taqwa, brothers and sisters. But how do we actually get this taqwa? Taqwa begins and ends with the seeking of knowledge. With the seeking of knowledge. It is only when we go about seeking knowledge that we truly get to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His attributes. The things that He loves, the things that He dislikes, the things that He will reward us for, the things that He will punish us for. It is only through knowledge that we actually become such a person that we can actually build upon our taqwa and make it stronger. So I advise myself and I advise you sincerely that we need to make seeking of knowledge a priority in life. We have to simply go about seeking knowledge that is for ourselves, our family, and help others to develop taqwa by seeking knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His rules, His laws, His commands, and His prohibitions. Now the second part of the hadith is where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised us, and he told us in this part that, and follow up a bad deed with a good deed, and it will erase it. The good deed, hopefully, inshallah, will erase the bad deed. So this is a promise here, that our sins can be wiped out if we follow it up with good deeds. As Rasulullah ﷺ says, salah to salah, jumu'ah to jumu'ah, Ramadan to Ramadan, wipes away sin committed in between, providing one stay away from the kaba'ir, the major sins. So this is quite important here for us to understand, that good deeds wipe away evil deeds. As the case of a man who came to Rasulullah ﷺ at the time of Salatul Fajr, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I have come in contact with a woman who I'm not married to. But he didn't commit zina. He says, I have come in contact with a woman who I'm not married to. Rasulullah ﷺ turned to him and says, did you pray Fajr with us? He said, yes. He says, that wiped it away. So the salah, brothers, any good deed wipe away evil deeds. But know at the same time that evil deeds also wipe away good deeds. Such, for example, if a person commits shirk, then it wipes away all his good deeds, all. Another one, Rasulullah says that he who misses Salatul Asr, all his good deeds are annulled. Perhaps it means for the day what the commentators have said, but the fact is it means that doing a sin also wipes away good deeds. So we should be very, very careful in how we go about understanding our deen and practicing our deen. We see that it's necessary for us to ask ourselves at times, think of it, what will make us pray Asr this afternoon? What prevented us, some of us, from praying Fajr this morning? What is it that our eyes see? What is it that our ears hear? What is it that, or who is it that we have as friends? Do they take us closer to Islam? Or do they take us away? How is our taqwa? We have to work on all of these things, because all of these things affect the quality that we actually have, the quality of our taqwa. So we, as I mentioned, taqwa is not something that descends upon us. With the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we build and we develop taqwa. Akuli kawli hadha astaghfirullahu li wa lakum. Bismillah, alhamdulillah. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Brothers and sisters, in the last advice Rasulullah ﷺ gave us, he says, وخالق الناس بخلق حسن, and behave well towards people. This is the right of individuals upon us. The right of individuals upon us, that we behave well towards others. And where do we start? We start in the home. We treat our family in the best of manner. What did Rasulullah say a Muslim is? What's the definition of a Muslim? A Muslim is one from whose tongue and hand orders are safe. So if our hands and our tongue, these are used against our family within the home, then this tells us right away that our khuluq, right, our character is deficient. And we have to work upon that, that we must never ever go about hitting our family. So you find very rampant in the society, abuse of women, abuse of children. It doesn't mean only that you're going to hit them, but rather, many times the words that come out of our mouth, and even some husbands use abusive language towards their wives. So in their home, they're like this. And when they go out of the home, there's something else. This is that ittaqillaha haythu ma kunt. This is not be conscious of Allah wherever you are. That is not it. We cannot be two individuals. We have to be the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased in the home and out of the home. When we go in the public, how do we interact with our brothers and sisters? Do we approach them and have a smiling face? Give them salam, greet them? Or are we this angry monster, you know, just waiting to explode, that people keep away from us because of how we're going to behave? Husnul khuluq is that which leads to Jannah. And indeed, husnul khuluq is the heaviest thing on the scale on the day of resurrection. That is the heaviest thing. So, brothers and sisters, some of the best way how we can basically go about implementing this narration of Rasulullah ﷺ is to always remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who sees and hears everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. He sees everything, He hears everything, He knows everything. Where are we going to hide then? We have accountability with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to Him. As soon as we die, our accountability starts. It starts there. That's the first part, in the grave, in the qabr. So let us prepare ourselves, brothers and sisters, for what is to come. Let us think thoroughly about that. Let us think deep about that. And that's what this hadith is telling us. Think deep, reflect deep. And this one narration of Rasulullah ﷺ is sufficient to guide us in this life. And inshallah, take us to Jannatul Firdaus. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يَصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وآل علي محمد وبارك على محمد وآل علي محمد كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين وأقيموا الصلاة